Clinical Coffee and Reason podcast, where life's challenges are the grounds for our resilience. Like a tea bag immersed in hot water, we steep ourselves in adversity, allowing its essence to permeate our being. Our podcast is a space where we explore the transformative power of reasoned conversations and extract the strength and wisdom that lies within our shared stories. Here, we understand and accept that every trial is an opportunity for steeping in resilience and turning difficulties into a flavorful blend of growth. So, join us as we immerse ourselves in life's challenges, allowing them to infuse us with the strength needed to navigate the complexities of existence. Together, we will sip on the lessons learned and reason our way to a more resilient and empowered life. This is episode 4 in the Adversity series of the podcast. I'm your host, Nurse Douglas Atkinson. And as we embark on this caffeinated journey of dialogue and discovery, let's center ourselves with our podcast mantra. We are brewing resilience and sipping strength, one cup at a time. Today we have with us Mr. Andre Bury, a teacher by profession, but a singer and songwriter at heart. Mr. Bury is not just a competent building teacher at the Kellett High School, but he is also a recording artist. Behind those smiles and that cheerful personality lies an individual who has navigated many planes of trauma. But today, he decided to share with us how he navigated grief as a child. Hi, Mr. Bury. Thank you for joining us on the platform today.
Yes, hello, Nurse. It's a pleasure to be here, man. Just listening to your opening credits, they would call it. I'm like, whoa. Yeah, man, feel the game. Trust me.
Thank you. It is great to have you here tonight. So I can imagine that experiencing loss as a child was not an easy one. You know, experiencing loss as an adult is so difficult just the same, but just imagine a child who is not ready to take on that within their body. So would you like to tell us more about the relationship that you had with your grandmother before she passed?
Okay, no problem. First, I just want to say my grandmother was not just a grandmother. You know what I mean? She was a mentor. She took me from when I was like maybe 1 year old from my mother, you know? So I grew with her, I bonded with her so much. And we had a great, great relationship. Not just like a grandma, she was fun and everything. You know what I mean? She was a spiritual leader, a religious lady who found, even decided to form her own place of worship at that time. And, you know, she was just an inspiration. I was very close to my grandmother. You know, we shared the same month of August. So, you know, we did those tight. People used to say, I'm her favorite grandson. So trust me, we were very close.
Was it a case where she was ill before she passed or was it abruptly?
No, she wasn't ill, you know what I mean? She just, it was, I can remember vividly. I was in grade 9 at high school at the time when she passed and came home. She always have her like her prayer meeting in the evenings, you know, and that evening she was just there talking with me. She wasn't sick, you know. I was there with her alone in the house. I had a smaller cousin there at the time. And we were just talking. She was just encouraging me about life. It's like, looking back at it now, it seems that like she knew that she was going to pass. Trust me. But she wasn't sick. She just basically slept away.
So she had a peaceful death.
Very peaceful in my arms, I must add. You know, trust me.
She died in your arms.
Arms, Nurse. I mean, we were there in the house and she had a early prayer meeting that evening. And I asked her, I said, Mama, I used to call her Mama. I said, Mama, you want me to turn on the TV now? And she said, no, because I remember vividly, she used to watch ABC News at that time with Peter Jennings and it was like 6:30. It was a Monday, a first Monday. And she said, no, don't turn it on yet. You know, so I was there, you know, I was like a little trouble maker still, you know. So I trouble my little cousin. You know what I mean? Took away his cane. He had a cane eating, so I take it to him. And I hear him start crying. So I say, what? And him say, what's wrong with Mama? Because I had stepped out on the veranda. Mm-hmm. So when I heard him, I thought he was just crying back for the cane. But I heard him saying, what's wrong with Mama? So when I went in, I saw her just leaning back in the sofa. You understand? And trust me, I ran over and I was like, Mama, you know? And so I told him, no, I said to him, run, go and call my father. So he left now and went to another house, which was probably about 10 minutes away. So I was there alone with her, you know, in this big house, and she was there, and I she just not responding. I just hear like the last breath leaving her body, like she's trying to look at me, and just I just hear the last breath just left her, and I was easing her up because she was like hanging over like the sofa handle, and I was easing her up, and trust me, I heard the last breath passing, and she was there, me and her alone. And by the time my father came, she was already gone, you know, and trust me, even to today, it's like it's still, it's not, trust me, it's been a while now, and it's still so clear. Still feel it sometimes when I thought about it. Sometimes I reminisce, I remember all the while. This story that I'm telling you now is what sometimes I just find myself telling, even some people remind me. Yeah, so it, trust me, time don't heal certain wounds, you know, you just teach you how to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Yeah, wow. Man. As a 40, that, what was it? You were old, 14? About yeah, 14, 13. 15, 13. 13, 14. Wow.
Yeah, because them time they, I went to high school kind of early, you know, kind of bright, you know.
Yeah. They say kind of have it up there.
Yeah, man. So we did navigate through the thing, and she always believed in me. So I was like about 13, 14 at the time, I think.
Wow. Yeah. So how badly did it affect you at that point in time?
Let me tell you, nurse. It hit me for six, like you just see a cricketer bat a ball and it go way over. Yeah, trust me, man. It mashed me up. You know, I don't even know how I made it through. Wow. Honestly, because at that time I couldn't explain
mm-hmm.
what I was feeling to anyone.
Oh my. So at the age of 13, you lost your grandmother, which was more than just a grandmother to you. And she just left you without any... any warning, you know, like sometimes when someone was ill, you can prepare for the death. But yeah. At a point in time, yeah. It just came so abruptly. Since you said that it affected you that much, what were some things that you went through at that point?
All right. I went through like, I wasn't able to focus like even on the schoolwork for a while. I had issues like, as I said, talking to people. I didn't have anyone. Or maybe persons were there, but at that time in the country, we don't know what's the word to use. We weren't that outspoken then. So we bottle up all of those feelings, don't even know how to express it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Family members flying in from overseas, a lot of family, because she had 13 kids in her. So, you know, she's a whole heap of people come through.
Grandmaster, man.
Yeah, man. Very, she had 14 and one died at childbirth and like them just stopped. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So a lot of people were there, and with all these lot of people that you didn't see for a while, it was mixed emotions because it was like, whoa, why only when someone died, you can pull this amount of unity then? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So it was from a tender age, I was like saying, whoa, so it's so many different emotions at the time, missing her like crazy at the time, wondering if this is real, people coming. Who maybe haven't seen like a decade ago if I was a child, come in or see me as a teenager. I said, what? So, you know, so with so much people coming, talking to you, you just don't want to even be around people at that time, me personally, at the time.
I can just imagine how overwhelming all of that was.
Definitely.
Was there anyone who came to you and say, hey, who are you holding up?
Whoa, all of the people at that time were basically mourning because my uncle, I was close with my uncle, and he was like, he's the last one for her. So he was like a brother to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, like more like a big brother. So, but he was like, he changed color, literally, kind of brown. He basically got red, almost. He was going to UTEC at the time. He was doing some degree stuff up there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it hit him. So it's not like, As a child, I don't even remember if no one come to me and say, yo, it's going to be all right. I don't even remember. All I can remember is my grandmother by my mother's side. My mother's mother, she mm-hmm. came from Kingston. She came from Kingston, and she was the one who hugged me and said, yo, don't cry, you know? Because when I see her, I just broke down. You know what I mean? That's my other grandmother. So she was the one who said, you know what I mean? I remember she said, don't cry, you know, everything's going to be all right. And she hugged me up. Yeah.
Even as a child, or even though you are mourning, I can understand where everyone is mourning together, but, you know, it's still important to stop and say, say to yourself that, hey, I wonder how the other person is doing, or maybe they need a hug just as much as I do. So I can understand where everyone may be mourning, but it's still important for us to always remember that we are going to need support within this time. So was there at any point in time where you like began acting out because of how you were dealing with the loss of your grandmother?
Yeah, definitely. Honestly, anger, because I always have a kind of bad temperament, if you may, if you want to use that word. Get as a child, they used to say me ignorant, but you know, it's arrogant, really. You know what I mean? Kind of a, you know, a temper problem. So with that, now my peers, them, we're playing football and we just kick with the ball for spite. You know, if we are playing cricket, if we are playing cricket and we are lose, we just tap. You know, it was like we bat and then we now go by the ball and we now feel. It's just like, you understand, for a moment. But what I must give thanks for it was like, my mother, you know, she was there and other people who, you know, kind of helped keep me in check.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense of the word, too. So I never really got overboard at that time because that's a little while ago, you know, a good time ago that. So it's not like now when things different, now people more expressive, you know, yes, social media, whatever. At that time, can you just imagine at that time, as a child, you don't even know how to express yourself and it's affecting your schoolwork. It's affecting your relationships with your peers. It's affecting your thought process, you know, because a lot of people here say, somebody said them grandmother that they're dead, and it's like, oh, your grandmother, like them, like it's nothing because it's just a grandmother. But for me, it was not that. Honestly, that's the difference. Up to today, if I was to pick one lady, if I could bring back somebody, my father passed the other day, and if I could bring back one person, maybe say my grandmother would have bring back. Because that lady was like a strength, a tower strength, where she pray for you. You know what I mean? She not judge you. She always dear, humble. She was just, may I show you a picture of her one idea? She was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mama left a lasting impression, man.
From that dear nurse, I don't know what fear is. Because I look scared, you know, as I look at you sometimes, you know, because we grew up between country and Kingston. So I spend a lot of most of my life in Kingston. But, you know, when you're in the country, and like the rural country areas, and you see like shadows, like the banana tree, or you hear they look wink or something. Me was scared as a child, but from my grandmother's part, me no feel fear again from that day until now. Honestly, it's like nothing no fears me. That just die with her, you know. So that was one of the plus positive out of it. But honestly, it hurt me. I even know me still remember. I mean, it's a big man now. I still remember like it was yesterday.
Given that it was so difficult for you to express yourself or to express what you were feeling at that point in time, as you had mentioned that expression wasn't as prominent amongst persons like it is now. Given that you were so, you weren't as expressive. So many persons may not have known what was going on in your mind. They may not have known why your studies were affected. They may not have known why you were having more anger tantrums more than often. They may not understand why you may had secluded yourself, locked yourself off from all the world because you wanted to be alone. How did anyone get through to you, or did anyone get through to you?
All right. As I said, it was affecting my schoolwork. So I'm the kind of person who always getting like an A average, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I realized my average started to fall. But the thing that helped me to get back on track was the memory and what she always said to me. Because whenever I bring home my work or my homework and I show it to her, she always like excited. It's like she was one of the first person I wanted to show my results. You understand? So when I saw like my results dropping and my average falling, I was like, no, I can't let down mama. So that was the biggest motivation there, you know, to get back on track in that sense. Where that
mm-hmm.
So it's like even beyond the grave, she was still picking me up. And I said, yo, you can't do this. Because one of the last things she said to me, she said, she said, me and you born the same month. Me a quarter. She said, in a part of the same. She said, me and you were born the same month and you're very determined, but make sure you be determined for the right things. You understand? Hold your head up, and she always encouraged me. So when she passed and we laid her to rest and everything, it was affecting me. But I had to pick up myself, because I said I couldn't let down mama. You know, I got in a lot of fights, you know, and then I have to just check myself through her, through the memory and what she used to tell me. So it is very important for people when they're speaking, especially to younger kids, because they're going to remember, you know, you understand? Speak that positive energy within them, because sometimes that is the only thing that's going to keep them. Because I could easily get in a gang. I could easily just go astray. Which that is another story still, because a lot of things happen even after me, because she died when I was in 9th grade, and then I go in grade 10, and by another year, 2 years after that, I was out of high school. You understand? Taking her on the streets as a young man, and my grandmother not alive no more. So we still make a lot of mistakes, but we still always get back on track, because you see the root and the core of what you learn, stay with you, you know, nurse.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happened in our life or circumstances, you know, if the core of you, if people like my grandmother and my mother and people like those people always speaking positive in you, always showing you the right side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you get off track, trust me, you're going to get back on track, you know, when you decide to get back on track, you know.
True.
Because these people breathe life and speak life. My grandmother used to have prayer meeting every day. That church lady, yo, me used to say, if my grandmother now got, if nobody now got, you know.
This is fair bed, make put on a long time.
Grandmother have church on Sunday, and she have Bible study on Saturday. And Monday evening, she have prayer meeting. Monday night, Tuesday night, go right back. And then Saturday night, they have Bible study, and Sunday again at school, at church, we meet. So it was like religiously, you know what I mean?
She lived and breathed the word of God. Yes.
Yeah, and it wasn't even more religion. It was more spiritual, because she used to just get up randomly and just go on hospital. Just dream, say, man, go sentence to the hospital, go pray for some people, you know. Spanish Town Hospital, you know. My grandmother had the first person tell me about somewhere named Rodinal, and since me teaching at Kelly's, me know me, say, whoa, no, you're so. Trust me. Yeah, because she just get up and say, where is road now?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said, up Clarendon side. And she said, we need to go up there. And she just charter one taxi and end up there and preach. And we hear these stories.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So she was that kind of person. She traveled over Jamaica bringing the word of God based on how she saw the Almighty to people and helping a lot of people. Go hospital, go visit people. You know, all this that give back to people. So it was a deep loss, man.
Powerful woman of God, and a very, very, very powerful family member. Can see that the impression that she left on you, right? The person that she meant to you, the individual that she meant to you. You can really see that you had a very, very strong bond with her. Even after the grief that you had mentioned, she was still leaving a lasting impression, still picking you up, still saying, hey, you have somewhere if you go say, you can't stop yourself.
Definitely.
Was there ever a breaking point for you after her death where it felt so hard to deal with it and it just felt like a breaking point for you?
All right. After her death, call it 2.5 years after, would have seemed like a long time, right? But that was where, you know, we left high school and as I said, with this Kingston straight now, we're not even going to go country again. And met up with a lot of hurdles along the road of life. And that broke me, like broke me personally.
Mm-hmm.
And when I reminisce and see that my grandmother was not there, that again was like a double breaking point. You understand? And we got in all trouble in those young stages, you know. Maybe it's another story that's what I would say, not having her to go to. My mother was there, you know. I didn't live with my mother at the time, but nobody can replace my grandmother, because she basically grew me at that young stage. I'm alive. You understand? That's a breaking point. It's like not expressive, not being able to express was like an internal breaking point right around the clock, if that makes sense.
It does.
You understand? I'm always trying to figure out ways of dealing with it. And trust me, from that till now, it's still affecting us. I tell people these things, you don't just go away. Some way, shape, or form, you just learn how to live with it over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me. So I would say to anybody out there who even listening, yo, cherish the moment with everybody, man. Cherish the moment with people who you love. Cherish the moment. Tell them say you love them.
a lot of us in Jamaica don't come from a culture where people say, I love you. You understand? Mm-hmm. I hug you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I would say right now, to people, just cherish the moment. And sometimes even as men, people feel like, say, because we don't show emotion like that about certain things, that people might think, all right, enough time, and then they're really good enough. You know, a lot of things in the past come back to you. You know, Mr. Nurse, I remember my grandmother, like, regularly. And this is more than about 20 years ago. You see how long it is? And it seems like last week sometimes to me.
Because of the relationship that you had.
Yeah, man. And sometimes, remember, sometimes things remind you of her. Sometimes you see persons in the street. Every time I drive past Rodnall, I remember. Because she first met me know someone named Rodnall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just to show you. I would drive past there, so every day. There's always memory. Every birthday with me have the same birth month that was hers. And memories are always there. You know, I have some family member who look just like her now every time I see them. You know what I mean, so? And two people used to say I was her favorite grandson. Yeah, which I have that title there. Nobody can really get it.
Listen, yeah. Nobody can say that for you.
Yeah. I mean, I get the last piece of dumpling out of her plate, man. She always left food for me, man. So I always itch up on her arm, you know, literally. You know what I mean? If she watch TV, right on her arms. You understand?
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. What you said just now that stuck with me, that really stuck with me, was when you mentioned that the biggest battle was the one internally, struggling to express yourself. It's a real battle, as well. Like when you're going through something and you just don't know how to get it out, you don't know if you tell somebody, say, this happened, and me just want like a help to deal with it. It's so difficult to internally fight that mental battle. And I can't just imagine how that just forced you to explode. As you had mentioned, you had to surpass many hurdles. You had to go through and make a lot of mistakes to get to where you are now. So what I want to know, just before we turn down, is what really happened to make you become this expressive? Because you aren't the 14-year-old that you were a few years ago that struggled to express himself, that struggled to deal with anger, that struggled to say that, hey, mentally I'm not okay. What birthed the new Andre Bury?
Whoa. I would say, you know, it was a journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I was on an intentional quest to get a better relationship with my creator. I would start seek. I make it short. We start seek. We start search African deities. We start study about different religions. We start study about theology in a nutshell. We start doing a lot of stuff. And I got around a lot of people who really told me about personal development. But even then, I still wasn't expressive about me. I could read the book them and relate them back to people. But I wasn't. It's a journey. And even now with you, Nurse Atkins, I tell you the truth. You help move the needle from one part to the next. It's like, say the needle lead up on quarter tank, and we just say you move it to almost half tank, which is not normal. And I like, we had a lot of dialogue. It has to do with, I believe in energy and frequency. Because for example, if you're searching for a radio station, until they reach the right frequency, it's going to just fry.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, so we just say your energy, where I feel within myself, say, you are a real person. I'm feel like if I say something to you confidentially, it's going to stay there. So that's also what I feel about you personally. So even expressing myself right now to you is still me and the journey. So when I ask what birthed it, I would have to say, my one quest of seeking to find my relationship with the Creator that allowed me to get around some people. And I start studying about personal development, and I start realizing that, yo, listen, you have to express yourself, you know. And I started to express myself little. And I still know, I'm not reaching nowhere yet. You know what I mean?
It's a journey.
I would say that, but yeah, man, the journey of trying to answer your question is just me really trying to find myself. Started to put things in perspective, showing me that, listen, man, you're a human being, and if you're going to express yourself, well, you might not express yourself to everybody, but when you find someone or a group of people you can express yourself with, don't hold back. But even then, I was expressing myself with caution. I know people love take things, tell people, you know, certain culture.
Yeah. Definitely.
And we don't want certain things to trigger we.
Mm-hmm.
Back about certain things. So more time, very selective, you know. If you notice, even at school, you know, we kind of deal with everybody, like, generally, but we don't really, like, zoning, like, mm-hmm. like, you know, selective whom we really talk about certain things with.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But that journey, man, that birth, that expressive side of me, you know, trying to find myself. I can't pinpoint the exact moment when we decide. It's just like something that was transition. It wasn't like, I said, all right, now I'm going to start expressing myself today. It wasn't like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe I met someone at the time and we were talking and then this tears started come out of my eye unconsciously. We never realized I may cry by expressing myself about certain situation. You understand?
It'll be like when you're mixing the colors yellow and green together and over time it just becomes blue.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. It don't just get up and turn blue over time.
Mm-hmm. You have to continue to stir. Just continue to stir. Beautiful. Beautiful explanation, truly.
Yeah.
The journey of life, and we never really know where it's going to take us. We never really know if the decisions that we're making are actually the right one, not until we get there. And even when we get there and realize, say, oh, and yes, I mean, one day, we have to start all over again. So,
so true.
It's really a beautiful, beautiful story. So to end this episode, I want to ask you three questions before we move on. Let's say that you are talking to your adolescent self right now. What are some practical steps that you'd give yourself to overcome the grief of losing your grandmother?
Whoa. I would tell him to zone in on his spirituality, you know, because that's going to lead to some people who are really going to be there for you, that they can cry on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, honestly, but I say zone in on spirituality, you know what I mean? Prayer. Sometimes we not even really know how to pray because we question a lot of things, but you know, mm-hmm. but I say try to get a better relationship with the Almighty who you feel within you. You know what I mean? And then would I say next thing I probably tell myself at that time is trust me, you're gonna be okay. You get me?
Yes.
But I say trust me, you're gonna be okay. I would tell myself that, you know, this is gonna make you stronger. I know mm-hmm. it don't make no sense to you now, but it's gonna make you stronger. You know, and you're going to be great. I just inspire myself. Trust me, but I just breathe real life to myself if I got the chance to do that, you know?
I'm just mentally picturing older Andre with the younger Andre touching himself and saying, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, man. Trust me. Although maybe the young Andre maybe would have said, brother, I better you go on for yourself, man. You know nothing, man.
And I'd say, if you're mad.
Yeah, we are better, man. Yeah, trust me, never normal nurse. But yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like I would reach him though, you know, because deep within him, I exist.
True.
Yeah, so I would reach him because I know my words would be pure and true and I would pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what encouraging words would you have for your younger self right now that's going through this situation? I know that you'd have told yourself that it's going to be okay, this is going to make you stronger, but any other encouraging words you may have had for yourself?
Okay, well, I would tell myself that, listen, your grandmother was a powerful spiritual woman and she chose to die in your arms. That means that you're powerful in you. You're here for a purpose. Yeah, you're here for a purpose. You understand? And I think she left something with you, because now you don't have no fear.
Mm-hmm.
So, use it to do the right things. Don't let down the spirit of your grandmother. And I will don't let down the spirit of the Almighty, mm-hmm. which always trying to talk to you. Because I know that you are a person. I'm just talking to myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you are a person who always question the status quo as it relates to religion and God and these things. And you might not go even listen to a certain people, say, some of us know, say, if you open your heart and your mind, the Almighty will speak to you directly through your soul and your spirit. So just look to your spiritual eyes, listen to your spiritual ears, do the right thing. If you can't do no right, don't do no wrong. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be all right. Trust me, I got all right. You know? And you're going to learn from this and everything going to make you a better person. It's just a reasoning with that for all, you know what I mean?
Most definitely. And if you were to speak with an adolescent right now who has just lost someone dear to them, what would you tell them?
Well, I would say to them, I can relate to you. I know what you feel. I might not know exactly what you are feeling. And nobody does, but I can relate to your situation because I've been there. I would tell them that hindsight is 20/20 vision. Trust me, when somebody walked the road already, you might want to listen to them. I would be humble and just relatable. I want to be like, because sometimes in these situations, you don't even know what to say. I would more present myself more like a shoulder, lean for them. No, say, trust me, can reach out to me, you know, anytime you want. And I'd be there if you want to talk, you know. I'd tell them don't make any emotional decision. I would say if you want to cry, cry. You know? I would say find your passion and try to do it. I also tell them about spirituality, which is within them. You know, I just be like a good friend to them, not asking them a lot of questions, I saying too much.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of being a shoulder or a listening ear, you know? And that voice of encouragement to let them know that you're going to be all right. Your life don't end. And a person pass on, they might know everything, but your life continues for a reason. So if you really say you love that person that passed on, don't let down their spirit, because spirit never die, whether you want to believe in that stuff or not. Same thing would I say to them. The soul live on. So do the right thing and don't beat yourself up too much. Don't overthink. You know, it'll be a series of stuff over a period of time that I would really relate with them still. Yeah.
And you, I can tell that you it's heavy on your heart. It's something that is very intimate for you, you know.
Definitely.
So how does it feel to have overcome this as a child, overcome this adversity that had initially seemed like such a, why, well, I think I'm going to make it past the month, yeah. But the way we think I'm going to probably not going to make it. But
yeah.
Being here right now, looking back, how does it feel to overcome this adversity as a child?
Listen, man, I feel empowered and I feel fulfilled in a way, you know, that I've made a transition. You understand? Empowered. I feel like right now, if I can't do something, it can't be done. Honestly. I feel like there's nothing that I would put my hand to right now that I would feel. I feel like if I do a law degree next week, I'm good. I swear, the experience, we really realize now, the experience really teaches wisdom and knowledge.
True.
Yeah, man. We're just telling other people, if you're going through any stuff like this, everybody's story is different. You know what I mean? So find, get around good persons, because you are who you hang around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So get around good persons. Get around persons who are going to motivate and stimulate you to move and go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And think positive, you know. So seek out those people. And if you are an introvert, because I feel like everybody's an introvert and an extrovert at the same time. The circumstances and who you get around will decide it.
Mm-hmm.
You get me? Yeah, because a lot of introverts, if you hear them around the right people, then you'll say, why are you an introvert?
Are you not a chat though?
Yeah. So yeah. I just tell them, say, oh, listen, man, the life is a journey. We don't understand everything, but yeah, go be all right. Just buckle up now. If a school, yeah, go get in the school thing. If you want to pursue a career, go do it. You know what I mean? Get busy, because in these circumstances, when you're not busy, your mind tends to stray, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I found out that even being busy can help if we navigate better in certain sectors time. Yeah. Like even when my dad died recently, you know what I mean? If I wasn't busy doing a lot of stuff, sometimes my mind gone with me at one place as a man. So I still go through that. Mm-hmm. Learn how to deal with it, because, you know, getting around everything, what I said, get around people who can talk to people like you. I feel like even you, nurse, we just launch. I would encourage you to just be like water in a way, farmless, but you gotta go just use your farm. Because if a water go in a cup, you turn the cup. If you go in a box, you turn the box.
Thank you.
So, thank you so much. With your energy, just allow yourself, the Almighty, to just put you where you're supposed to be, and don't hold back yourself and don't limit the Almighty movements. Because I feel like you have the power to reach some people who them would have said, darn, man, nobody can reach again. You know? You understand? So this is a great initiative. We really applaud this podcast that you're doing. And I hope a couple of years down the line, when we come back again in a different space and time, achieve and hold it for something where enough people feel like couldn't achieve, I would achieve it. And I would say, yes, I spoke with Nurse Atkinson. Make sure you save the recording. Yeah, because this is going to be something we're going to listen back and say, wow. Yeah,
thank you so much. I am humbled. I'm truly humbled. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man, you're welcome.
So I do want to say, lastly, thank you for presenting yourself on this platform. Thank you for revealing yourself and for sharing such a beautiful story. You taught us the importance of spirituality, of learning who God is to us, to understand that having a moral compass, it truly comes from the home. And when our family really pour into us and it's rich and lush and flavorful and something that we can take for years to come, we should grab it, because we never know just how far those morals, those teachings, those things that are a part of us, we never know how far it's going to take us. We never know what it's going to take us through. And we should definitely hold on to the treasured moments and the people in our lives, because we never know how long we have with them. As you had mentioned, your mother, your grandmother, I should say, she passed in your arms and there was no sign of death prior to. She passed peacefully. She passed peacefully in your arms, but even though it was peacefully, it was one of the most heart-wrenching days of your life.
Yeah.
But yep. You took everything that she taught you and you run with it. You run like your life depend on it. You took it and you turned it into something much more beautiful, something much more unexpected. And I must applaud you for that, because not everyone would have been able to navigate. Even though you had so many things going through at that point in time, you navigated as best as you could and you learned to adapt. That's the most important part. You learn to adapt and you never let go of what your grandmother taught you.
Never. But feel like I was chosen, you know. And when you're chosen, it's like, even if you try to mess it up, you have to get back on track, you know?
Yes, true.
Easy and pure along the way. We have let her down along the way enough time, but you know what I mean? Get back. Always get back, man. Always a bounce back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So it's a beautiful thing to be here right now. And thank you very much, man, for really sending out that invite. I'm a man of my word. You know, sometimes when I don't get to accomplish certain things that I said, I can't sleep, you know. You know, because I feel like your word should be a bond, you understand?
Yes. I believe that as well.
Yeah.
So where can we find you? Where can my listeners find you? Because I know for sure that you're an recording artist. You write songs, you sing songs. You're a big DJ, Pankellitz High School grounds.
Yeah.
Yes. So where can we find you?
All right. Well, my artist name is Genuine Vibes. You know, the vibes spelled VYBZ. So If you type in Genuine Vibes, you see me pop up on YouTube and Instagram. It's The Real G Vibes on Instagram and TikTok. The Real G Vibes. So you can't miss. You get me?
Okay, no problem. I'll definitely link your social media details in the show notes so individuals can definitely look out for you whenever you post something new. So thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Mecca Coffee and Reason. And if you like what you have heard thus far, please remember to like, share, subscribe to our podcast channels on all platforms. Leave a comment under each episode to let us know how this podcast episode impacted you. And feel free to send us a message on our Instagram page at Mecca Coffee and Reason or via email at schoolnursedouglas@gmail.com with the names and contacts of those who you'd like to see next reasoning with us. Or if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in the Mecca Reason series, let us know just the same. So as we say hello to our brand new week, let's remember our podcast mantra. We are all brewing resilience and sipping strength, one cup at a time. As the week goes on, allow the aroma of freshly brewed coffee to inspire authentic conversations, and may each episode leave you with a sense of connection, reflection, and a renewed appreciation for the simple joy of sharing thoughts over a cup of coffee. See you next Sunday on the Make with Coffee and Reason podcast.